Well, thank you again for your prayers for our team. Got back from Kenya, and we were so blessed. This is our third trip for my wife and I to Kenya, and I would say it was our best. We had great unity and great relationships with the team, and we also saw the children. Each time you go back, there's a deeper relationship. There's deeper conversations. Ryan Bradley did a great job teaching the aunties and the teachers about how to minister to kids that are hurting. We saw the aunties connect with us in a deeper level, on and on. We saw six playground equipment things get set up. And then to be able to actually play with the kids on the playground, and so that to me was just a huge blessing. We had a great time, and thank you for praying for us. So now let's talk about, we're talking about Jesus here this year. It's all about him. And today we're going to learn that based on his teaching and example, that it's time to wash feet. So I don't know if you've washed anybody's feet before, what a humbling experience it is to receive that as well as to give that. We have had a family from Guatemala, and I did not know this, but when the dad passed away in the hospital and I was there in the room with the family, they have a tradition in Guatemala that the family prepares the body for burial. And I had the privilege, it was a sacred moment, to watch the family begin by washing the feet of their dad who had just died. And some of you have had a privileged moment where you minister to somebody, maybe in a caregiving role, or maybe in the dying element role, or maybe just being there for somebody in need. If you've never washed someone's feet, you've got to do it at some point in your life, because it is a dramatic, humbling moment. And I just want you to think about that. Now, I have a challenge and I have a problem here today. And the problem is, you guys already know the story, so we might as well just go on home, right? Amen. God bless you. Have a nice week. But what I am praying for this morning is that we would let God's word speak to our hearts, and maybe there is something about this story that we have never thought of before, or maybe the reminder of a truth will hit home. And so my prayer for you today, as we see in the book of Psalms, open my eyes, Lord, let me see the wonders of your word. So please stand with me. It's our tradition to stand for the reading of God's word, John 13. And I'm going to read the whole passage, 1 through 17. Listen to God's word this morning. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has been bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put out on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things," say these words out loud with me, "blessed are you if you do them." Lord God, there is a principle clear in your word that hearing the word of God is not enough. We must do them. So Lord God, we've heard your word. I pray that you would show us what it looks like to do your word, to live it out, to practice it. Lord God, if there's someone in this room that needs their feet washed, there's something in their life that they've walked in, something in their life that has brought hurt and wounds and pain, and they need the body of Christ to come alongside of them, I pray they would know and feel and experience your love today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So we walk into this very familiar story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. In this story, I want you to see how powerful the story is. First of all, the obvious, you have a profound example of servanthood. If you want any clear definition of servanthood, you will see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So number one, and the next slide, please, profound example of servanthood. The second thing you're going to see is a practical expression of servanthood. So it's not theoretical. It's not theologically up there in the clouds. This is down and dirty kind of serving, and we see it with him washing the feet of the disciples. Let's just say it out loud. These disciples had dirty feet. They smelled. They stunk. It was not pleasant. Some of you know what that's like. If you've changed a dirty diaper recently, you know what I'm talking about, okay? If you've had to go where no one else would go, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So the third thing you're going to see, though, in this story, and this is the ouch moment. Everybody, just say out loud right now, ouch. Ouch. Because now you're going to feel it. Here it is. This story is a principle of biblical relationships that we should be practicing at home, husbands and wives, moms and dads, kids, we should be practicing this kind of servanthood in our homes. We should be practicing this kind of serving in the church. We should be practicing this kind of serving in our friendships, in our life groups. We should be practicing this kind of serving at work with our co-workers, our neighbors. Let's open our eyes and see what Jesus is calling us to do here today. So we're going to look at a couple of things in this story. Number one, very important. Before we do any washing of feet, we need to understand the foundation of serving. And so often as Christ followers, we mess up right here. We get the action part okay, but we forgot the foundational element of biblical serving. And it's found in this passage right here. Number one, Jesus knew his death was near. He knew his death was near. Now, why in the world would this be thrown into the story? He is about ready to wash their feet. He's going to teach them about serving. But it starts with verse number one. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. What does that have to do with serving? I want to tell you, it's very powerful, foundational principle. Time is short, and we need to understand the urgency of every moment, the urgency of every situation. We might not have another moment. We might not have another time. Jesus would not have another time to sit down with the disciples. He would not have another supper. He would not have another Passover. This was the moment. There was a sense of urgency. We need to have a sense of urgency in our serving. When we think God's Spirit lays on our heart, make a phone call. Love that person in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'll do it another time. You might not have another time. That might be the moment to reach them with the love of Christ. When you see a need in the neighborhood, you see somebody that falls down, go to them. Don't put it off. We as Christ followers in our serving model need to always have a sense of urgency. Oh, I'll do that someday. One thing that really bugs me about football, I just want to tell you. Seahawks is an example. Here it is. Okay. First quarter. No offense. Second quarter, a little bit of offense. And then just before the halftime, there's just a minute left. And all of a sudden they come alive, and there's this 2-minute drill, and there's completed passes, and there's touchdowns, and oh, awesome. And then the second half, kind of slow and moving, you know, slow motion. And then the last 2 minutes, all of a sudden they come alive, and there's just completed passes, and there's touchdowns, and oh my goodness, what a great team. Have you ever said out loud, like I have said so many times, why don't you do that the whole game? Come on. Amen and amen. Okay. Help us, Jesus. Okay, so now, in the football setting, we think, okay, well, why does it happen in the last 2 minutes? Because there's a sense of urgency. We as Christ followers, we know that Jesus is coming soon, do we not? Maybe today. Say it out loud. Maybe today. So when God brings an opportunity to serve, there must be an urgency about it. This last summer, the Lord laid on our hearts to, we were going to go camping in the 1st of August for a little vacation. Instead, the Lord laid on our hearts, my wife and I, to drive down to Southern California. There was a friend of mine, Ralph Kramer, that was near death. And the Lord said, you got to be there. So we drove down, and we took the time and effort to go there. He's 95 years old. He was my spiritual mentor when I was in college. And the first day, he didn't respond at all. We couldn't wake him up. And we thought, okay, well, that was it. And the Lord laid on our heart, go back a second day. You don't have another opportunity. And so we went back a second day, and the second day he was very alert. And we had an amazing conversation of memories of what we had shared together. But the reason why we were there is that we knew we probably would not have another day with him. And we as Christ followers, we don't know how many days are left, not only for us, but maybe for that person. And this could be the moment where we show them the love of Jesus. That's first thought. Number two is that Jesus knew his love for them was clear. A foundation of serving is agape love. Okay, the word agape is God's sacrificial giving love decision, not by emotion, not by the worthiness of the other person. Look at verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world. So he's setting the tone for what he's about to do. He's going to wash some feet, having loved his own who were in the world. A description of the motive and the message of what he's doing is coming out of a heart of love. Listen, he loved them, it says, to the end. What does that mean? Well, the NIV says he showed them the full extent of his love. Other translations say, to the uttermost, fully devoted, all the way to the end, never stopped, in the face of betrayal and denial. I have a couple of grandkids that are running cross country this fall, and it's so interesting to watch. You know, it's a 5K or whatever it is, and they start. Some of them start off fast, and then they kind of find a pace, and then the Carmichael Hill comes, and oh my goodness, and they're just trying to run up there, and what a thrill it is, because I know both of the grandkids have got this, okay, toward the end, okay, here comes the kick. Because they got something left at the end. And it's amazing where they give their all the way to the end. There is no giving up. There's no halfway effort. In fact, the end is one of the most exciting times of a cross-country meet. And I want to tell you, Jesus is saying, I'm coming to the end. Oh, hey, by the way, my love for you is not slowing down. It is not puttering out. It is not giving up. My love to you, all the way to the finish line, the cross, is going to go full bore, okay? And we, as Christ followers, need to understand that it's God's love in us and through us that's going to help us serve. Don't give up on people. Don't get discouraged if they don't receive your love well, or they're not changing, or they're not doing what you want them to do. A.W. Tozer said it like this, I am determined that I'm going to love everybody even if it kills me. Isn't that a great statement? It doesn't matter what you're going to do about what I do. I am determined that I'm going to love you all the way to the end of my life. And that's a foundation of serving. If you don't have that love, it's not biblical serving. Number three, Jesus knew his friends. His friends' unworthiness. Oh my goodness. This story just explodes our mind right now, because in verse 2, during supper when the devil had already put it into the heart of Jesus, Judas Iscariot, excuse me, Simon's son, to betray him. So he's looking at these 12 disciples. Oh, he's got Peter who's going to deny him. He's got the other disciples who are going to run away from him. He's got Judas who's going to betray him. And it says that the devil put into the heart of Judas. Let me just make a statement here. You need to write this down somewhere. Satan can only put into the heart when the heart is open to him.
That's right.
Remember that. It's very important. If Satan has put something into your heart, it's because you are open to his suggestion. Oh, Satan throws stuff at us all the time. No, I'm not about that. Hallelujah. Get out of my head. Get out of my life. Be gone, okay? But when you are opened, when you opened your heart to Satan, then he'll put a lot of things in and it will stick. So be aware of that. So Judas has got Satan controlling his thoughts and his hearts and his mind. And Jesus is looking at this. How often, as Christ followers, we love to serve the people we like. You're a nice person. I like you. You've done some things for me, and I like you. Hey, I'll be there for you. Of course I'll be there for you. But some of the rest of you, I'm not so sure, you know? I'm not talking about you personally. I'm just generally here. And you know, sometimes we just got this judgment thing going on in our head. We won't call ourselves judgmental, but it's going on in our head where we kind of decide, you've seen these signs at a restaurant, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, right? Well, that's legitimate. No shirt, no shoes, no service. What are they saying? They're saying we will serve certain people, but if you come without shoes or you come without a shirt or you come in with the wrong attitude, we're not going to serve you. How often does the Church of Jesus do the same thing? Where we see somebody that doesn't measure up, or we see somebody that is not the kind of person we care about, or they don't, you know, they don't like the same things we like, and you know, they might be a Dodger fan instead of a Mariner fan, and we just don't get it. We don't understand. Why would you do that, you know? But so often, we forget the foundation of biblical serving is based on this unconditional grace and love. If Jesus could, if Jesus could wash the feet of Judas, can you imagine that moment? He's sitting down, kneeling down. He's taking the dirty feet of Judas. He knows Satan is dwelling in his heart already. He knows Judas's plan. He takes his dirty feet in his hands and he washes the feet of Judas with love, not judgment. If Jesus can do that, you have an enemy, you have somebody that's hurt you. Have you ever tried washing their feet? Find something to love them with. Find something to come alongside of their need or their brokenness or their hurt and minister to them. If you do that, you understand the foundation of biblical serving. Number four, Jesus knew his identity was secure. This is one of the things that we really mess up with as Christ followers. I'll just let you know, I do it the same thing. Verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So what does that have to do with serving? Come on, Jesus, wash some feet. What's this all about? Because when we serve people and we have an agenda behind the serving to get something from them or out of the situation, to get approval, to get credit, to have somebody notice, to have somebody see how good we are, to have some kind of value in the serving, we don't understand biblical serving. Biblical serving comes out of this identity in Christ where we are secure in him, and then we serve out of that security. We are not trying to prove anything. We're not trying to impress anybody. Thomas A'Kempis said it like this, "Whoso knoweth himself well is lowly in his own sight and delighteth not in the praises of men." So when you understand that humble position in Christ, that it is all about him and not about you, and you're secure in that, then you start serving like Jesus. If you don't and you have an agenda out of your serving, it is not Jesus serving, it is you doing your thing to get something out of the moment. You might write this down, it's very important. Secure identity in Christ, you will serve well for Christ. You know, people know when you're trying to get something out of the moment. Get the attention, get the credit, get the approval. Maybe a payback moment. If I do this for you, you'll do something for me sometime in the future. That is not biblical serving. Jesus knelt at their dirty feet, and he knew who he was. He knew the Father had given him all things. He knew that he had come from the Father. He knew he was going back to the Father. What he was about to do to wash their feet had nothing to do with trying to get something out of the moment. He was fully secure in who he was, and then he served well. How often does the church serve with dysfunction because we have the wrong motive or agenda in the process? Find your identity in Christ and say, Jesus, now you have loved me well. You have given me your grace. Now, can I be your instrument in this world? And then you do it with biblical serving model. Now, the second thing we need to see today is not only a healthy foundation, but we also see the act of serving. So churches are great for this. We can talk the talk, have we not? I mean, it's so great. Let's just dig into the Bible. Let's analyze the word serve, and let's analyze how we can wash feet, and let's figure out what kind of basin he used, and let's discuss the kind of towel we should. I mean, churches are just amazing to do that. And then what? We never wash any feet. I mean, what's the point of talking if you're not going to do it? Okay, so let's be straight out. Number one, Jesus did what needed to be done. Okay, this is not rocket science. Dirty, smelly feet need to be washed. Who's going to do it? You walk in the church lobby or in the church parking lot and you see some trash there. Somebody needs to do something about this. I think I'll make a phone call to the custodian to make sure they're doing their job better. Because that's my role in the church. Make sure everybody's doing their job better. Hey, pick it up. We're all servants here. This is not about somebody else. It's about you. It's about me. If you walk past a piece of trash in this church parking lot and you don't pick it up, what are you thinking? It's going to pick itself up? Somebody's going to have to do it. Why don't we do what needs to be done? So he rose from supper, verse 4. He laid aside his outer garments, taken a towel, tied it around his waist. He gets down and gets down and dirty. Man, I'm the Son of God. He knew his identity. I'm the King of Kings. He knew his identity. The whole creation will bow before me someday. And I will now, at this moment, bow before them. And I will take the form of a servant, Philippians 2:7. And I will do what needs to be done. Some of the greatest critics God has planted in their heart. Let me just say a word of affirmation. Some of you are very discerning. You see things that nobody else sees. You see details. God bless you. If God laid that criticism on your heart about how the church could be better, did he also lay on your heart that maybe the solution was you? If you're looking for a church and you're trying to find the perfect church, keep on walking. This is not the place for you. Does that sound harsh? But if you're looking for a place to serve, we have lots of opportunities for you. I have a few pictures of Kenya here real quick. Experiences of serving. We got to do some playground equipment, and that's Eric up there on top. They wouldn't let me get up that high for some reason. And this is the group of monkeys that we're helping out there from Kenya. And what a blessing. There's Anita. They actually needed help milking cows, and Anita was willing to do that. The kids washed their own laundry. They got outdoor laundry basins that they teach the kids how to do their own laundry. They teach them how to be servants. There's Dwayne Tomlinson helping. They teach the kids how to prepare the meals. And You can see those kids with those sharp knives. Oh, my goodness. But there's the team. And just like the Philippines team, what they're saying is, we don't know what we're going to do when we get there, but we do know this one thing. We're going to serve whatever needs to be done. The second thing about the act of serving is they needed his cleansing, physical and spiritual. Jesus has a knack of this, of doing something in the physical world and at the same time teaching a spiritual lesson. And it's not unusual for this to happen in his ministry, and we see it in this story. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Now, we don't know for sure what's going on in Peter's head, but right now it seems like, man, this is really awkward. Jesus is doing something for these guys, and obviously they don't care. They'll take whatever they can get from Jesus, but I am so much more spiritual. This is my interpretation. Jesus, I'm so much more spiritual than the rest of these disciples that are just no good, and I know who you are. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. These disciples around me are going to let you wash their feet, but I am way more spiritual than they are. Joy Bach loaned me a book to read on the trip to Kenya. It's called I'll Push You. It's two friends, Patrick and Justin. One is completely disabled, not able to use his hands anymore, and they were lifelong friends, not able to walk. And they decided that he would push his friend in his wheelchair 500 miles across northern Spain and that whole region. I forget the name of the path they went on. But it says here, two best friends and one wheelchair. And what an amazing story of him pushing his friend that needed his effort every step of the way. But there's two quotes in the book I want to share with you. Patrick Gray says these words, the truth is something beautiful happens when I invite others into my weakness. Here's a second quote. When you deny someone the opportunity to help you, you deny them joy that comes in serving. And I have to confess this. Some of you are with me on this. I have a lot easier time serving somebody else than I have receiving from someone that needs to serve me. I mean, we like to be self-sufficient, do we not? We like to be the server, not the servee, okay? I tell you what, it's embarrassing. A little more of that story of that playground. I was on the scaffolding, and we were putting up some of the beams, and Bruce asked me to measure something, and we had not, I thought it was secure, but it wasn't, and I leaned against one of the big, huge posts, and the whole thing collapsed, and I come tumbling down, okay? And I got bruised, and I got scraped, and I got bleedy and bloody and what? Bleedy? Bloody? Whatever. I was leaking. I had to. oh, man, all the Kenyan kids and all the workers and everybody's around me, and they're bandaging me. I want to tell you, that was one of the toughest moments I had in Kenya. I was very thankful I wasn't hurt seriously, but I tell you, I was embarrassed because I'm a man that likes to build things, and look at me, I just fell off the scaffolding, and I'm a mess, and so, you know, that's probably why they didn't like me up on the scaffolding anymore, but anyway, as a man, I was the opposite of what I wanted in Kenya. I wanted to be the guy like Eric on the top of the playground swinging a hammer. I didn't want to be the guy on the ground handing bolts up to people. Because it was embarrassing. But serving is not just giving out, but it's also being willing to have other people minister to you in your time of weakness. And you actually give them a gift when you allow them to serve you. Don't steal their joy by saying, no, I don't need that. Verse 9, Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Peter usually misses the point, and this is another example. And so he says, okay, if this washing feet is a pretty good thing, then come on, bring on all the water. Man, let's have a bath. And then Jesus has to tell him, verse 10, the one who has bathed does not need to wash. Okay, this is about feet, Peter. It's not about taking a bath. But then he brings in a spiritual truth. And you are clean, Peter. Oh, by the way, but not every one of you. And what he's doing is he's telling us about a physical need that is definitely present. There's dirty feet in the room. But now Jesus inserts a spiritual power moment. Oh, by the way, there's also some dirty hearts. And in this room today, I have a feeling there's some dirty hearts. And you don't need a physical washing of your feet. You need Jesus to wash your soul. Verse 11, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. So the life groups this week, I'm going to challenge you to dig a little deeper on this whole idea of the cleansing that the Bible talks about. There's four different cleansings in the Bible you need to know about. That's very clear that the blood of Jesus cleanses your sins. Amen? That the Holy Spirit, when you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and cleanses you, washes you. The Word of God can wash your heart and your mind as you spend time in His Word. When you confess sin, there is a cleansing, there's a washing where you are once, your sins are like scarlet, but now you are white as snow. And so we need the cleansing power and work of Jesus. If you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, number one, before you start washing anybody's feet, you need the cleansing of Jesus in your life. Let Him wash you clean. Now, not only the act of serving, but let me just clarify. Number three, they did not understand. Okay, so before we point too many fingers at the disciples, let's just talk a moment. When we are learning from Jesus, there is lots for us to learn. There are so many things that I have learned after I should have learned it. Is there any slow learners in the room? Okay. You know the phrases that I hear. It says in verse 7, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. So I love these phrases. Sometimes they could be said about me. You're not the sharpest pencil in the box, are you? I love this one. It took him 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes. Isn't that a great phrase? Think about that a moment. You're not the brightest bulb in the box, are you? You're two fries short of a Happy Meal, aren't you? And you know what? That's not just certain people. That's all of us. Sometimes God is speaking. God is working. And we're slow in learning what He's trying to teach us. That's what He's saying here. Sometimes God will put an opportunity in front of us, and we miss it. Peter says to Jesus, you'll never wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet. By the way, saying no to Jesus is not a good idea, okay? You might be doing that. Maybe you're not even aware you're doing that. You might be saying to Jesus today, I want to serve you, Jesus, but not that. Or not now. Or not them. Or not there. And what we did was exactly what Peter just did right here. Peter, I like this idea of washing feet, but that's not what I'm going to do right now. And that's not what you're going to do to me right now. And we got a little clarification here, Jesus. I like what you're doing, but Jesus said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Let me be very blunt with you this morning. If you call yourself a Christ follower and you don't fully embrace this idea of serving, you do not understand Christianity. Okay? Jesus, I want the blessings of all you got for me, that eternal life thing and all that other stuff, but I'm not going to be the servant you want me to be. But I'll take all the other good stuff. You don't understand what it means to follow Jesus. One last thought here for you is the example of serving. So there's just three words that can kind of grab your attention. And that is to do what he did. And there's three words here. Why, what, and how. Try to remember that. Why, what, and how. Before you serve, wash feet, whatever it looks like, make sure you have the why clear. Jesus says in verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Why should we do what he's asking us to do? Because I am a Christ follower. Amen? And Jesus says, go, I go. Jesus says, do this, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I am following him. He is worth following. We had the opportunity to watch Rod Harrison at Kenya. Here's a picture of Rod. And everywhere Rod went, he had his homies with him. I'm telling you, he had a following. Rod, you are a rock star. It's just amazing. And he would teach them songs. He would teach them motions. He would teach them dance moves. Probably should keep the dance moves to yourself. But anyway, and what was happening? Whatever Rod was doing, that's what the kids wanted to do. Why? Because they loved Rod, and they knew Rod loved them. Second word is what? If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And by the way, in the original language, it's a present tense command, which means continuous action. Jesus says, I'm washing feet, and I want you to continuously wash feet. If the Lord of glory washes feet, then what should I be doing? I should be washing feet. One of the great moments in Kenya, we talked about this. Why do we feel so close to Jesus in Kenya? Because we were serving children. Jesus loves that. And we were serving the least of these. And Jesus really loves that. And when you serve those that do not deserve anything, there's a powerful Jesus moment in your life. The third word is the word how. I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done. A servant is not greater than his master, verse 16. So how do we do this? We do what Jesus did. We look for the needs. We pray about it. We pray for opportunities. We see the urgency. We see the love of Christ flowing through us. And then we start looking for what God would want us to do. So here's the bottom line summary statement. He says it in verse 17. Listen closely. Knowing these things, blessed are you if you do them. So here it is. Knowing plus doing is blessing. Isn't that great? So you have received some information today. Now the question is, are you willing to do what you've heard? And when you do it, God promises a blessing. I flew down to L.A. this last couple of days to do a funeral for my good friend Ralph Kramer that just had such an impact on my life when I was in Southern California going to college and seminary. And we used to play tennis a lot together on Saturday mornings. He loved tennis, and I was so with it. And if you've ever played tennis with anybody, here's a phrase you're going to hear a lot. It's your serve. I'm going to tell you, it's your serve. Father in heaven, thank you. I don't know what this is going to do in our lives. You have multiple expressions of what we've learned today through the lives of these that are sitting here. Lord God, I pray that we would take it serious. You would fill us with such compassion and mercy and love that it would overflow this week. Lord, open our eyes to see the needs, even when we don't like the person, even when we don't like what needs to be done. Lord, help us to have a servant heart. May this church continue to be filled with servants that are focused on following our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Wherever you lead us, Lord Jesus, we follow. I pray for someone in this room that doesn't know Jesus yet. I pray they would see that Jesus is bowing before them, ready to wash them, cleanse them of the filth of this world. Thank you for your cleansing touch. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.